My name is Garland Robinson. Our subject in this lesson is music in the New Testament church. And again, I emphasize the word music, and I emphasize the words New Testament church. We're not talking about the Old Testament, because we don't live under the Old Testament. We live under the law of Christ, the New Testament. We're not talking about heaven. We don't live in heaven. We're not there yet. This world is still standing. So we're not interested about heaven at this point. We're looking at the present, looking at now. What does God authorize? What does the Bible tell us to do now as far as our music is concerned in worship to God? We learn there are two kinds of music. There's vocal music and there's mechanical, man-made music. The Bible authorizes vocal music, that is the human voice. We can turn to the passages, 12 of them at least, in the New Testament and show that God authorizes music using our human voice, singing words and making melody in our heart, but we can't turn to any passage which authorizes the use of mechanical instruments of music in the church today in order to worship God. When we look at the New Testament, we find there is no place where Jesus ever commanded mechanical instruments of music to be used. We find no scripture that shows the Holy Spirit ever authorized their use. We find no example, no teaching of any of the apostles that ever sanctioned the use of mechanical instruments of music. We find that no other New Testament writer ever endorsed their use. When we look at church history, whether in the New Testament or those early centuries after the New Testament, we find that you'll never see it used, never employed by any congregation of the Lord's people. You know, when you look at all those facts, doesn't that make it distinctly clear that there's no Bible authority for their use? Those who've just got to have it, they can't point to any place in the Bible that either commands or implies their use. And they stand alone when they try to do so. For a matter of fact, over 600 years, the church rejected its use. Now, they apostatized in many other areas, but still, they never employed, never used mechanical instruments of music. According to the American Encyclopedia, Volume 12, in page 688, we read, Pope Vitalian is related to have first introduced organs into some of the churches of Western Europe. That was about 670 A.D. But the earliest trustworthy account is that of one sent as a present by the Greek Emperor Constantine to Pepin, King of the Franks, in 755 A.D. Now, you can't find it in the New Testament, and for well over 600, 700 years you did not find it that was practiced at all among churches in those early days of their history. In the Schaff-Herzog Encyclopedia, Volume 2, page 1702, we read, In the Greek church, the organ never came into use, but after the 8th century, it became more and more common in the Latin church, not, however, without opposition from the side of the monks. Its misuse, however, raised so great an opposition to it that but for the Emperor Ferdinand, it would probably have been abolished by the Council of Trent. The Reformed Church discarded it, and though the church at Basel very early reintroduced it, it was in other places admitted only sparingly and after long hesitation. Not only that, but we find that in church history again, secular church history, that many of the well-known preachers and scholars of past centuries have spoken out plainly against its use. Men such as Adam Clark, a distinguished Methodist scholar, John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, John Calvin, the founder of the Presbyterian Church, Charles Spurgeon, a well-known Baptist preacher, and Martin Luther, the founder of the Lutheran Church. And there are many others. They're certainly not all. But simply this serves as an example to show that people through the centuries have opposed the use of mechanical instruments of music. The churches of Christ are not alone in their opposition to it. But mechanical instruments of music are not wrong because well-known men have stood against them, nor are they wrong because the Church of Christ today opposes them. They're wrong for one reason. The Bible does not authorize them. You can't turn to any New Testament passage and give a book, chapter, and verse and say, here's what God tells us to do, therefore they're authorized. According to Colossians 3:17, authority is necessary for everything we do and everything we say. The only authority in the world is the Bible. And Jesus said God's Word is truth, John 17:17. Truth can and will make men free, John 8:32. God has commanded His people to sing and worship, and that is the only command there is. God never commanded people to play on a man-made instrument. And when we introduce man-made mechanical instruments of music into our worship, it is to violate God's strict and plain command to sing. What it amounts to is that it makes our worship vain, and vain worship causes people to lose their soul. Friend, isn't it clear that the Bible says we are to sing, does not say anything about playing? Did you know also that without faith it is impossible to please God? Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Then we read in Romans 14:23, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. The injunction of 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 is that we walk by faith, not by sight. So since faith comes by hearing God's Word, Romans 10:17, that means that we live according to His Word and not what may appear right or seem right or feel right in our own eyes. In the Old Testament, we read in Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We also find a very similar statement made in Proverbs 14:12. We find there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. A lot of ways seem right to people, but they're the ways of death. We're to walk in the light of God's Word. And when we step out of God's searchlight of truth, we place ourselves outside of God's approval. Unless we live according to His Word, that's walking by faith, we're not pleasing to God, and we're guilty of sin. We read in Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2, that sin separates one from God. And separation from God leads to eternal torment. You remember the great judgment scene in Matthew 25:46? And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Therefore, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Colossians 3:16. To do a thing in His name simply means to do it by His authority or by His command. In respect to mechanical instruments of music being used in worship, the New Testament does not give any authority for it. It's not walking by faith to employ their use. And if we don't walk by faith, we sin against God. Notice these plain facts about it. Again, let us say, Christ never commanded it. The Holy Spirit never authorized it. No apostle ever sanctioned it. No New Testament writer ever endorsed it. And no New Testament church ever employed it. The use of them is sin. It's a sin because we cannot use it in faith and obedience to God. It's a sin to use mechanical instruments of music in the church today to worship God because it rejects New Testament authority. Jesus has all authority in heaven and in earth, according to Matthew 28:18. And He did not instruct the apostles to use it. The Holy Spirit led the apostles into all truth, according to John 16:13, but He didn't lead them to use mechanical instruments of music. God tells us what He wants, and when we reject what He says, we reject His salvation, for salvation only comes to those who obey Him. Hebrews 5 and verse 9. We also read in Matthew 7:21, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. So again, we learn salvation only comes to those who obey or do the Father's will. We also learn that mechanical instruments of music goes beyond that which is written. We're not to think above that which is written, according to 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. We must not add to nor take from God's Word, Revelation 22, verse 18 and 19. We must not go beyond the doctrine of Christ. For if we do, we are no longer in fellowship with God and Christ, 2 John 9, 10 and 11. To teach and practice another gospel, a gospel other than what was given in the New Testament, is to invoke the wrath of God upon us, Galatians 1 and verses 6 to 9. So, mechanical instruments of music also violates scriptural worship. Our worship must be in spirit and in truth, John 4, 24. To worship in truth is to worship according to the truth. And God's Word is truth, John 17, 17. Therefore, we must worship according to the instructions of the New Testament. When something other than the human voice is employed, we violate God's specified plan of worship and no longer worship according to the truth. We also know that the use of mechanical instruments of music in worship is sinful because they cause division. God hates division and those who cause division, Proverbs 6 and verse 19. Jesus, on the other hand, prayed for unity in John 17, verse 20 and 21. The apostles taught and commanded unity in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. Those who cause division are to be marked and avoided in Romans 16, 17. Who is causing division? The one who introduces the use of mechanical instruments of music, or those who oppose their use? That's not difficult to figure out who's violated God's instructions. It's the one who adds it, the one who promotes it, not the one who seeks to honor God and prevent their use. The use of mechanical instruments of music is an innovation of man, and it's totally without Bible authority, and it constitutes vain worship. Vain worship brings the curse of God, Matthew 15:19. It's a plant that God has not planted and will eventually be rooted up at the last day and cast into the furnace of fire, Matthew 15 and verse 13. Oh, we need to honor God. We need to look to God. We need to simply see what God wants, leave our likes out of it, what we want out of it, leave it out, and honor God by doing His Word. Friend, what is wrong with that? Let us go back to the Bible and do exactly what God has authorized in His Word.